It's Monday, June 8th. Here's what's happening in Northeast Indiana. The Chicago Bears are coming to Indiana. Republican Senator Chris Garten announced last week that he will step down from his role as Senate Majority Floor Leader. And Governor Mike Braun has proposed regulatory changes for childcare aimed to boost affordability for families and providers. I'm Brianna Barrow, and this is Who and What. The Chicago Bears are coming to Indiana. As WFYI's Sarah Neil Estes reports, the team announced on Friday that they would be accepting the state's offer to build a stadium in Hammond, Indiana.
The Illinois legislature ended its spring session without passing its version of a bill aimed to keep the team in Chicago. Lawmakers, including Governor of Illinois J.D. Pritzker, said they worried about spending money on a new stadium as residents struggle with affordability. Indiana lawmakers passed legislation earlier this year worth $1 billion to incentivize the team to come. Speaker of the House Todd Houston led that effort. He says it's a major win for Indiana.
We're stable. We get things done. We support big things here in Indiana, and this is certainly one of them.
In a statement, Governor Mike Braun called on Hoosiers to welcome the Chicago Bears. I'm Sarah Neil Estes in Indianapolis.
Republican Senator Chris Garten announced on Thursday that he will step down from his role as Senate Majority Floor Leader. As WFYI's Ben Thorpe reports, Garten said he no longer felt aligned with leadership, suggesting a break with Senate President Pro Tem Roderick Bray.
Garten was one of the Senate Republicans who proudly supported both President Trump and redistricting when lawmakers gathered to consider redrawing Indiana's congressional maps last year. That put him in opposition with President Bray, who was one of the Republicans who ultimately voted against the effort. In a statement, Garten said serving as floor leader required seamless alignment with the strategic direction of leadership, something he could, quote, no longer maintain. Several Republicans who opposed redistricting lost their primaries against Trump-backed challengers earlier this year, and Governor Mike Braun has called for President Bray's replacement in Senate leadership. Garten's name has been floated as an alternative. In a statement to WFYI, Bray said he appreciated Garten's leadership in the Senate. I'm Ben Thorpe at the State House.
Governor Mike Braun has proposed regulatory changes for childcare aimed to boost affordability for families and providers. WFYI's Ben Thorpe reports those proposals could be a mixed bag for some providers.
Braun's proposals aim to reduce some administrative requirements, including lessening qualifications for child care center directors and caregivers. One requirement that would be struck is that low-level caregivers have a high school diploma. Sam Snydman is with the United Way of Indiana. He says some of the changes will make child care centers more efficient, but providers are worried about some of the reduced qualifications for caregivers.
We also know how important high-quality staff people are, teachers are, for producing the kind of learning outcomes that we really hope for our kids.
In a statement, Braun said that loosening administrative burdens is, quote, empowering childcare businesses to grow and innovate. Public comments on the changes are due in early July. I'm Ben Thorpe at the State House.
The Indiana Attorney General is suing several mobile home park owners and operators in Madison, Grant, and Blackford counties. IPR's Thomas Olette reports the state cites many things residents have had to live through, including maintenance neglect, standing sewage, and a shutoff of city water services.
In court documents, the Indiana Attorney General's office says the owners and operators of the mobile home parks have engaged in an egregious pattern of conduct. The suit specifically details conditions at the Alexandria Mobile Home Park, where it says there was a lack of necessary maintenance. Despite the poor condition of the mobile home park, the owners still continued to bill residents for rent and utilities. Cindy Heisel is the operations manager for the new owners of the property. She says a lot of things had to go wrong for the mobile home park to end up in the state it is currently.
I doubt that there was somebody experienced that had authority operating it, and I doubt there was any sort of structure for the tenants.
Mobile home parks in Anderson, Fairmount, and Hartford City are also included in some charges in the lawsuit. I'm Thomas Ouellette in Alexandria.
Humane Fort Wayne has been offering compassionate fostering to those in the community experiencing crises for several years. WBOI's Ella Abbott met one pup whose experience in the program is helping her get a second chance.
Cookie!
Cookie is a 3-year-old Labrador mix, currently residing at Humane Fort Wayne's shelter. She roams back and forth across the grass in one of the solitary run areas behind the shelter, occasionally chasing a ball, mostly sniffing grass by herself, and getting up to some mischief.
Don't eat the rocks.
What's he eating? Rocks. Rocks.
Community Relations Manager Melissa Gibson pulls Cookie away from the rocks and redirects her back towards chasing the tooth-safe ball. Gibson says Cookie is a special case for Humane. She's no stranger to the shelter, though she's recently become a more permanent resident while she awaits her second forever home.
No, Cookie, she's an independent little soul. And she's quirky, you know, for all that she's been through. Cookie is, I don't even know. We call her Cookie Cookie.
Cookie's mom had been in and out of the hospital, dealing with health issues. And while she was there, Cookie would stay with Humane Fort Wayne as a compassionate foster resident. The program offers short-term fostering to anyone going through an emergency situation that makes them unable to care for their pet. Gibson says while a lot of their clients are people fleeing domestic violence, they also offer sanctuary to those who have been displaced from their homes or, like Cookie's mom, are receiving medical treatment.
You know, if you're going through something short-term and there's a sort of a foreseeable end to it or some way that we can support and make sure that that animal is safe, we don't want you to surrender a 12-year-old pet that you've had your whole life, or their whole life, to a shelter where they may or may not have a live outcome. We want them to be with you.
When Cookie's mom passed away recently, Cookie was taken to animal care and control.
Cookie is also microchipped. And so, you know, Cookie's chip comes back to us as a secondary contact. And it didn't even take that much because our staff frequently watches the animals on the animal care and control website as they come in, and our staff was just nosing around one morning and saw our girl.
Now, Cookie has found a safe haven at Humane. Allison Cayley is the intake and diversion manager at the shelter. She says compassionate foster programs like theirs take a lot of time, space, and manpower to run, which makes them pretty rare.
So it is a difficult program to maybe get into at certain times, but it is a super beneficial one for those who can use it.
Anyone can come in and fill out an application for a short-term foster, where shelter staff will assess the need and decide how best to assist. The application starts as a 30-day foster with the option to extend it to another 30 days if needed. Enrichment lead Christy Felkner helps the dogs settle in and feel comfortable during their stay. And she says it's important they're treated with the same care and attention as any of the other adoptable animals that come through the shelter.
So a lot of the reasons they're here, they may have experienced something traumatic prior to that. You just kind of take it easy with them and try to assess their personality. A lot of times we will set dogs up on a decompression plan. So we're still going to engage with them and interact with them, but we're not going to push that too far.
For a dog like Cookie, who Gibson says is a bit harder to place in a home because of her dislike for other pets and the bond she formed with her previous owner, the Compassionate Foster Program is helping her get a second chance.
Certainly in Cookie's 3 years of life, she's been through it. She's had some trauma, had a lot of change, but she's been so resilient that we just know that her perfect family's out there somewhere.
Gibson says Cookie basically has her own kennel in the shelter. And while she still had to get used to being around so many dogs and people, she's begun to settle into her space while she awaits her next home. For WBOI News, I'm Ella Abbott.
Cookie, you go girl.
And now a look at the events of the week. If you're looking to stay active, join the Riverfront Social Sports Club tonight for Ultimate Frisbee at Promenade Park from 6 to 8 p.m. Party all day with Soul Sunday Darty on June 14th at the African American Historical Society Museum, featuring live music, vendor booths, food trucks, and coffee carts. Celebrate Pride Month by visiting Fort Wayne's resilient LGBTQ plus community spaces like After Dark Nightclub. Join them for Thirsty Thursdays after the Tin Caps game for just a $1 cover with that day's game ticket, plus drag bingo from 9 to 11 p.m. Movie lovers can check out Cinema Center's Pride Month film series all month long. Members can even bring a guest for free. Don't miss Leviticus, a new queer horror film from A24. And finally, check into Grand Hotel, the Tony Award-winning musical at Arena Dinner Theater on June 12th and 13th at 6 p.m. Enjoy a German-inspired menu alongside the performance. Tickets are $50. More news in a moment.
This music was composed by Jackson Campbell, a student of Canterbury School. You heard it here on WBOI.
Here's what to know for today. Indiana teens will soon be able to get their driver's license a little bit earlier. The Indiana Department of Natural Resources hosted a ribbon-cutting ceremony Thursday to celebrate 43 playground projects across the state. And some Indiana farmers are seeing much bigger tax assessments on agricultural buildings. That's who and what for Monday, June 8th. These stories and more can be found at WBOI.org or on the WBOI app. Subscribe to Who and What on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can ask your smart speaker to play Who and What. If you enjoy this podcast, you'll also enjoy our newsletter, Frequency, at wboi.org/frequency. Music for Who and What is produced by Jack Ankenbruck. From all of us at WBOI, thanks for being with us and have a great rest of your day.